Rev it up and welcome to Cars Yeah, show number 2486. Today we're in beautiful Park City, Utah at a very cool new facility I think you're going to love. Be prepared to be inspired.
This is Cars Yeah, where you'll enjoy interviews with inspiring automotive enthusiasts. Mark Green is here to provide you with a fuel injection of automotive inspiration. So get in, sit down, buckle up, and get ready for a wild ride here on Cars Yeah.
Hello, inspiring automotive enthusiasts, and welcome to Cars Yeah. Today in beautiful Park City, Utah. What an awesome place to go ski. Also a wonderful place for the summertime with a very special guest by the name of Jake Wolf. Jake, welcome to Cars Yeah. Do you have any gear, and are you ready to release the clutch?
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll have some fun. Now, before we get into this very nice project that you have created, I always ask my guests a little bit of an icebreaker here. What's one little thing that people don't know about you, Jake?
Yeah, I think most people associate with me with cars and getting out on track and canyon driving. But I used to race jet skis growing up.
Really?
Stand-up jet skis.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. I used to ride jet skis a lot when I was in junior high and high school. I grew up in San Diego, and we take them down to the beach and ride them out in the ocean. The very first jet skis that came out with those kind of arms that pivot up and down.
Yeah,
where you kind of kneel and stand, and we go out down to Black's Beach and jump the waves where there was no lifeguards to chase us away. That is very cool, but I never raced them. So being that you're a lot younger than me, what type of jet skis did you race?
Yeah, so very similar. So a stand-up jet ski with the handle pole, and we were on Kawasaki SXR 800s.
Wow.
But yeah, buoy racing and Lake Norman outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, and a bunch of pros on the lake, and as a little kid racing against them, and just like a weird little niche thing that I used to do. And actually my first job was as a jet ski mechanic, so kind of funny.
Yeah, very nice. Well, jet skiing to me, growing up in Southern California, I was a surfer my life up through college, and jet skiing, skiing, snowboarding, all has that same, skateboarding, surfing, all has that same kind of rhythm and vibe to it. Did you notice that?
For when sure.
You, obviously, I'm guessing you're a skier living in Park City?
Yeah, boarder and skier, for sure.
Okay.
Grew up skateboarding and all that, so adrenaline junkie, for sure.
Sounds like fun. And now we're into cars. Well, let me give you an introduction here. Jake Wolf is the visionary CEO and co-founder of Warehouse, a premier private car and social club located in Park City, Utah. His career has evolved from collector-grade clothing sales, that's interesting, to exotic vehicle brokerage in Miami. A lot of nice cars there. In fact, the day we're recording this, there's a wonderful event happening near Miami, the Palm event at Mar-a-Lago, Trump's place down there, which is a very cool event. I've been there for the Cavallino event, but I haven't been to the Palm event, but very, very fun. And Jake conceptualized Warehouse after securing funding and spearheading the development of Warehouse Motor Club, overseeing design, construction, financing. The facility has become a premier destination for automotive and social enthusiasts alike. As the flagship Park City location, Warehouse sets the standard for what is slated to be a series of clubs across the country. Oh, by the way, did I tell you Jake's only 28 years old? There we go. Very cool. We'll be back in just a minute, but first a word from our sponsors. So give them a little love and we'll be right back. Are you ready to take charge of your financial future? Then let me introduce you to Capitalize Your Finances. It's an online course designed to empower you with the knowledge and tools for mastering your money. This course will help you lay out the ins and outs of budgeting, the importance of emergency funds, investing strategies, and how to plan for a secure retirement. All this presented by financial planner Chris Paniotou. Chris has developed this course to help you effectively navigate your world of finance with confidence. Stop stressing about money and start taking control. Enroll in Capitalize Your Finance online course today and pave your way to financial success. To learn more, go to capitalizepodcast.com/courses. Or better yet, go to the Cars Yeah website, show notes page for today's show, and click on the link under Capitalize Your Finances. You'll be glad you did. Do it today. For several years now, you've heard me talk about Linkage Magazine. I've been a subscriber since the start. Their talented and creative team brings you a spectacular publication and website that shares the automotive passion from a worldwide perspective. Linkage is about driving, restoring, collecting, and firsthand experience at collector car auctions and more. They bring you real-world values plus rational, experienced opinions on the current markets. They cover the automotive world and the people who share our passions. And Linkage Magazine has grown, mailing you 6 issues annually. Join me on this journey with Linkage. They're geared for the automotive life. You can subscribe at linkagemag.com. How did you discover your path to a fulfilling life? Too many young people flounder in finding an education and a career that fits. But for those who have a passion for cars, trucks, and motorcycles, and who love working with their hands, problem solving, and fixing things, a career as a professional auto technician is incredibly rewarding. Cars Yeah is pleased to team up with TechForce Foundation, our charity of choice, in bringing scholarships, technical education, and hands-on experience to young people so they can discover a possible future. Join me and lend your support by visiting techforce.org today. So, Jake, we are back. So, I've got to ask, at your young age, especially from where the side of the fence I sit on, how did this entire concept come to fruition? Where did it start? When did it start gelling in your mind? And how did you make it happen?
Yeah, kind of crazy story all over the place. As you mentioned earlier, was selling like investment grade, I guess you would say, clothing, or at least collector grade at the time, and moved to Miami right out of college. I started that little business while I was there and grew up with a huge passion for cars. And for some reason, was very, very into exotics. I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina, NASCAR country, and never saw those cars. But I was a kid reading Rob's Report and Forbes and all sorts of things, looking at Ferraris and Lamborghinis. So in Miami, there's obviously a ton of that. And I had made enough money at the time to quote unquote, buy my first car. It probably wasn't the best financial decision, but it's something that I wanted to do. And so I was just going to a lot of the car shows down there and got into brokering cars just through that community, and was constantly going to storage facilities down in South Florida and just saw all these passionate collectors in there with these amazing vehicles, but there is zero way to connect with others. You know, it's just a wide open storage facility. And I'd been privileged enough to see some of the, you know, social clubs in the area and what people were doing to cultivate a community. And at that time, really believed in experience. So that was what kind of where the idea formed back when, like 2018, 2019. So I was 23 years old and had this vision for this car storage facility mixed with Soho House level of social amenities and programming. Yeah, went to do it in Miami, couldn't find a way to make it happen, and pitched the idea to some investors up in Park City. And here we are 4 years later.
So how on earth did you get from Miami to Park City? Now, that's quite a jump in environments. You think about Miami or Southern California, or let's say Scottsdale, Arizona, Texas, all these places in the, as the Rust Belt, they call them, that have built similar type facilities. I've had many of them as guests on my show, but how do you get to Park City?
Yeah, so definitely very, very different from Miami, completely different end of the scale, but yeah, what happened was is I was going to lock down a lease in Miami, and I was going to do this by myself. So much, much smaller concept than what we're doing now. And a friend of ours, family friend of ours, knew what I was doing, had just met a newcomer to Park City who exited his business and was looking to grow and start a car collection. And he's like, hey, you know, I know this kid. He's starting this thing down in Miami. It's a really cool concept. We should fly him up and I had nothing else. He could help you start your car collection. So they flew me up. I didn't really know what to expect. I had grown up skiing a good bit in Park City. I love the area, but I never would have thought it would have the cars or the clientele, you know, to support our business. And met with them and just had really great discussions, did some quick data on the market and how much it had grown, which was crazy to me. Yeah, about a month later, this was 2019, we bought a lot to build this thing.
You know, this is a really cool story. It's akin to when I moved up here from Southern California. I was part of a very young business, startup business. And we were leaving California where there was all these cars and the whole culture I'd grown up in. Moving up to the Seattle area, we ended up down the Tacoma area. And I thought, oh my gosh, we're not going to find any people with cars here. You know, it rains all the time. Yeah. It's dreary. It's gray. It's like, what happened? Why do we do this? Well, we did it for obvious reasons, getting out of California for business reasons, yep. tax reasons. But long story short, huge car collections up here with some very successful people even 30 years ago. And now with tech having blown up and boomed, the Microsoft guys, the Amazon mm-hmm. people, I mean, all these people have cars. And it sounds to me like, Jake, you're in a very nice position because of your age, of us baby boomers who are aging out, selling businesses, and then wanting to start their dream collections. And Park City, which is a resort community, obviously there's some wealth there. Everything kind of just lined up for you, it seems like.
It really did. It really did. Yeah, what we found is since probably 2010, Park City has grown so much, very akin to Aspen with the level of wealth here. And the other thing, too, that we had going for us is, you know, if we started this thing in Miami first or L.A., one, there's other players in the game. But two, you know, if we're in Miami, we used to go stoplight with our cars, which, you know, wasn't the most fun thing in the world. And here in Park City, 10 minutes away from our location, we have like canyons. Truly world-class driving roads. Yeah, I mean, so from an enthusiast perspective, it just like really matched the ethos of what I was trying to build. So we've been super lucky, and then COVID hit and Park City blew up even more. So right place, right time.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. It seems like everything is lined up really nicely for you. The other part of this has to be more than just a storage facility for what you're doing, because I've got friends that own them, car condos, if you will, man caves, they call them. But now there's plenty of women mm-hmm. with wealth that collect cars and get into it. But you've created something in an environment there half the year is people probably aren't taking their favorite cars out because of the weather, the snow, the water. But you've created more than just a place to park your car. So can you get into all the different aspects of what warehouse is all about?
Yeah, for sure. My biggest realization when I was coming to this concept is, you know, we all have this obsession for cars, but we're enthusiasts of many. It's not just cars. You know, there's so many crossover passion and hobbies like art and wine and food and dining and travel, skiing, you name it, motorsport. So how do I create a space that lends itself to cultivating a community of like-minded enthusiasts in these different realms? So we have a pretty big facility. It's 30,000 square feet, but 40% of that is truly dedicated to the social club.
Oh, wow.
No cars are in it. It has a restaurant. We have three bars in the facility. We have golf simulators, race simulators. We do member races, member guest tournaments on the golf course. We bring in really high-end dining experiences. We do a lot of fun programming and events. We just did an artist talk last night and have beautiful art around the whole space. But yeah, it's just, we definitely didn't litter the space with cars. It's not, you know, sardined in there. That every car has its own unique space. And we did a ton with the design of the space and lighting to just make sure every car is just presented beautifully. And we can really celebrate what's in there and our collectors and our members just have this amazing space to, again, serve as a collision point and create this community. So that's really what we're about, almost more social forward than we are just pure car storage.
You know, this is really cool. And I'm seeing this trend evolve right before my eyes in the last, let's say, even 5 years. You think of events like Moto Miami, which just happened, the first time RM Sotheby's yep. did something more than just a Concours auction, which has been the traditional combination. You go all the way back to Pebble Beach and other events mm-hmm. like that. You've got this Palm event I mentioned, which is doing the same thing with food and art and, you know, watches and jewelry. And it's a lifestyle thing. So, yeah, everything is changing and you're right there on the cusp of it, which is very, very cool. And would you say would you say that your clientele, I'm curious about this part of it, is the demographic part. Is it tend to be
sure
a combination of, I'll say, boomers like me and then Gen X, millennials, or is it trending more towards a younger group that are now coming into this car world but want to have a lot more from the social aspects of it?
Yeah, definitely both. And I think Park City there's some constraints there versus when we go into a bigger market like, you know, LA or Miami that have a broader range and just, you know, more people. We're in a little town of 7,000 people here. We do have our later generation of 50 to 55 just sold their business. They were CEO. They were retired. They're growing a car collection. They want somewhere to meet other people, like-minded enthusiasts, and have fun in their cars. And then we have our second biggest demographic is 30 to 40-year-olds, tech entrepreneurs, people that are doing well in their businesses. They're starting their car collection, or they want to know how to get into it. And definitely our brand and, you know, our events and programming seem to be exciting for them. So it's fun to have kind of both groups and play to both groups, you know, their interests and wants.
Well, the thing I've learned is that cars are one of those rare things that bring everyone together, no matter their socioeconomic background, religion, politics, even race, whatever it is. There's something about cars, that passion we all hold, that you can be talking to somebody and they could be way above your economic level or way below, but it really doesn't matter. If they like cars, mm-hmm. they like talking about cars, and maybe their one car is not comparable to your 50 car collection, but there's just this mm-hmm. connection that happens, and that doesn't really happen in too many other spheres. So again, everything, for sure. every star is kind of aligning for you. So I think this is really cool. I'm wondering you're welcome. I'm wondering what your, I always ask about what are people's driving inspirations. There's a bit of a pun intended there with what has driven you to start to build this at your young age. And then you have a vision of an inspiration to grow it mm-hmm. nationwide, which is very bold, very ambitious. What drives you?
Yeah, great question. I grew up pretty middle class. I saw my dad go from working for a steel mill to partnering up with his best buddy and working out of a cubicle and scaling that business over a period of 15 years and going through multiple sales and growing this little, truly, it was just the two of them to 300, 400 people in their company, and saw what it took to, yeah. So I love my dad. He's my best friend for sure. To see him just put in the hours and make his dream a reality, and for that to unfold in front of me, this all happened when I was in middle school, high school. So it wasn't like I was so young that I couldn't understand what was going on. You know, it was always something that I just really looked up to what he was doing. And I wanted to do that, you know, for myself, is find something that I'm truly, really passionate about and try to grow it just as a personal goal type of thing. So I think it's in my blood. I just, you know, I definitely am ambitious and bold, and, you know, sometimes that's not the best thing, but
I think it's a great thing.
It served to help me overall.
Well, yeah. Sure. Absolutely. And the other part of this, I would assume you agree here, is you're living in a time, we all are, but you are, as a person of your age bracket, there are so many opportunities right now in so many uh-huh. different ways that never existed before. And people can always complain that, you know, these are the bad times, all the things going on in the world and politics, of course, this year and all of that. However, when you think about what people can do now and what they can create using social media, now AI is coming into play,
sure.
Business connections, you can make connections with people. I mean, look what happened to you. Some guys in Miami mm-hmm. flew you to Park City on a jet. And said, hey, you got an idea here, kiddo. I think we can work together. That may not have ever happened in the past, at least to the level that you start to see it now. Yeah, so nice to take advantage of the timing, and great to have a father that you can look up to and see what it really takes to be an entrepreneur. You know, all these so-called online self-made overnight millionaires, which are, I think they're all fake, you got to work mm-hmm. your butt off, and having that drive and that inspiration from your father is definitely a benefit for you. What would you say is the biggest challenge, or was the biggest challenge, in doing what you've done and where you've gotten to today?
Yeah. So there's been, you know, there's challenges every day. I mean, you just hit on it, you know, as being an entrepreneur, there's definitely ups, but I'd say the ups are much fewer than the downs. Yeah. Coming out of college, you know, I started this clothing business that I did well for, you know, that age, and thought basically, you know, at that point I was so young and pretty ambitious kid that, like, hey, this is, you know, I can do this, you know, making money is easy. Well, getting out and trying to start my own business outside of just something online was a whole different story and took a lot more time. So taught me a lot of patience. But one of the things with this is, you know, I never intended to have to build from the ground up a warehouse facility. I thought, you know, hey, we'll go lease existing warehouse space. We'll go, you know, buy and retrofit depending on the funding. And we came to Park City. My investors were hell bent on doing, you know, the first location here. And there was simply not a single building in the whole area that would support what we're doing. So we had to, I literally had to learn how to become a developer in real time. And then during COVID, like we bought the lot in 2019 and then COVID hit, and then, you know, people weren't in the county for planning and zoning. So I had to learn, you know, how to navigate around that. And then once it came time to construction, then you had these just insane supply chain issues, our build costs right before we started building, we were told, you know, we had signed with our GC 4 months prior. And right before we start building, they say, hey, your build cost has almost gone up 2x.
Oh, easy.
You want to start?
Yeah, easy.
Yeah.
And by the way, we might not be able to get any of the stuff we need to build your building.
Oh, 100%. We think you should order this stuff now with just a huge purchase. So, you know, just going straight into it, was the point where truly we could have all said, hey, this is
we're done.
This is too much risk right here. Yeah, we're done. We're going to part ways. So having to convince my guys that, you know, we're going to make this happen and I'm the guy to do so somehow.
Never,
you know, built a building. Yeah. So, it took 4 years from the time that we bought the lot to a completed building. So,
wow,
a lot of patience.
Well, I'll tell you one thing they always say is if you, in the startup I was part of, we started it during a recession back in the 90s. And it's like, well, if you can get something going during the toughest economic times, and you add economic times being tough to the COVID situation of restrictions, if you can do that, the rest should be easy. It won't be, but it should be a lot easier. But
yeah,
I had a guest on my show last year. You may have heard of him, Tony Principe. He's the president of Westcord Commercial Real Estate. His father founded that business. They built it up. And they have a company. One of their many developments is Finish Line Auto Club, which is somewhat similar to what you're doing. And very successful company. I mean, they also do office buildings and high-rise, all sorts of commercial real estate experience. 90-plus years with their team, combined years. But the reason I bring him up is not only he's done something similar in Southern California to what you're doing, but he told a story about a piece of property that he bought that he's been sitting on for years that they've been unable to develop for all these different reasons that come up. They're all ready to go and then something stops them. So commercial real estate development, very challenging. So my hat's off to you for what you and your team, obviously you've got a great team around you too, because you can't do this by yourself, what you guys pulled off during a really tough time. So that's very, very cool. Definitely some tough challenges. I want to talk a little bit more about you personally and your passion for cars. Is there one special vehicle in your short life history? I know I keep calling you a young guy, but you are a young guy compared to me. But one car that really stands out you could tell us a story about?
You know what? There's been some really cool cars in my life that we have, you know, have had amazing experiences. But the one I'm going to talk about, I don't think I've driven 30 miles yet. So, this was a car when I was telling you, when I, you know, moved to Miami, I was transitioning into the car world and started selling cars and started formulating the initial warehouse concept. I came across, and growing up again, I grew up a huge vintage Lamborghini nut. Like my first spreadsheet was at 9 years old tracking Diablo values at the time because I thought my dad would want to buy one, and you know, obviously never did. But so came across a 98 Diablo SV Monterey edition, which was one of 20 made for the Monterey, you know, for Pebble Beach that year. And they did a cool run from LA to Monterey in it with Mario Andretti heading it.
Running of the bulls is what they
call
that.
Yeah. So anyways, I come across this car. It's on Craigslist, and you know, it says it's this Monterey edition SV, but it it doesn't look right. It doesn't have the SV things on the stickers on the side, the decals. But the front end, come to learn, had been switched in an accident, which we've now learned that might have been an insurance fraud, but had been switched by the owner back in period to a 6.0, the later Diablo variant. So it had the fixed headlights versus the flip up, and it was just this really odd vehicle. So I was able to buy the car for now like nothing, you know, as Diablos have risen over the past few years, and I've since restored it back to original.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's been a really, really fun time, a lot of learning on how to you know, we truly had to change the whole front clip on the car. And, you know, and find these parts that Lamborghini didn't even have, had the wrong spoiler. I got the last one that Lamborghini had in inventory that was correct, and nice. Had to purchase bumpers off of old, you know, crashed cars and all these different things. But it was just really fun. My friends were involved. You know, my dad was involved in helping me out with making different decisions on the car. And it's been really fun, and it's actually just now wrapping up. So in our first season, our summer season of warehouse, we'll be able to drive this car around, which I'm really excited about.
Well, no kidding. 530 horsepower, 5.7 liter V12 engine. Those things are rocket ships. And these are the ones, if I remember right, have the giant SV on the side.
Exactly.
Okay.
The tattooed supercar.
Yeah. Nice way to put it. Very nice. Well, there's another story of preservation. I see a trend with you, Jake. Bulldoggedness, we'll call you. So I like to play car psychologist a little bit, crawl into my guest's head a little bit here. If you were reincarnated or manifest as a vehicle, not what you want to be, though, this is how you perceive the man in the mirror.
Yeah.
What would you be, but more importantly, why?
You know, that's a really good question, and I've been trying to think about
it's kind of hard to get introspective here.
For sure. And I keep on landing on, I think I'd either be, you know, my younger life, played, you know, college football, and, you know, was a little rough around the edges. Like a Gen 1 Raptor was one of my favorites, but, you know, tough. Has some firepower behind it, which I think would represent my ambition. But I think it would be, I think it would also be kind of a little rough of an example of a Raptor, you know, that gets taken out and, you know, driven in the desert and around and enjoys, you know, what the use is intended for.
Right,
so, yeah, I keep on going between that or selfishly, personally, LM002 Lamborghini, just because I love them. But similar to just bold, rough something, truck with some firepower.
I love it. Yeah, my next door neighbor has had two Raptors. And remember, first time he got the first one, let me take it for a drive. And he's got a ranch out eastern Washington and takes that thing out there and he brings it back. And I'm a clean car guy. And he'll call me and say, hey, I'm coming back from the ranch. I'm driving up the street. Check out my truck, and it's got like 2 inches of mud all over the whole thing. Yeah, I go, don't park that in my driveway. Yeah. Take that to your own driveway. But he drives it the way it should be driven. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, those are fun.
I'm very much one to get into the weeds and get into things. So something like that would represent me.
There you go. I love it. How about a great book? Is there a book you could share with our listeners today?
Yeah. So I am I think as much of my age group, we watch a lot of YouTube and watch a lot of videos. So I don't do a ton of reading, but I do have a book that I really loved. And, you know, we have a dealership at Warehouse and obviously have brokered some cars in the past. But a really cool book for anybody like getting into the car world and the dealership world is called The Dealer. And it's about the Los Gatos Ferrari dealership back in like the 80s and I think late 70s too. But just really cool story of how this very small Ferrari dealership in an area that might have not been, you know, thought of as the best market, similar to what I'm doing in Park City. They rose to become, you know, the top selling Ferrari dealer in the world. But also on the flip side, towards the end, you know, made several bad decisions. And you know, and eventually flamed out the business. So it was cool story, but too, like as a young, inspiring person in the car industry, it was cool to see the do's and the don'ts and their level of experience that they were trying to portray to their customers. So Love that book.
It's a great book. And by the way, it's written by Jim Chiardella, who's a past guest here on Cars Yeah. He was a guest almost a year ago. It was February of 2023.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and you can go back and listen to his show on my website or any mobile podcast app where you find Cars. Yeah, and he really took a deep dive into that business. Quite fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I had heard about things because of being a California dealership, and I grew up there back in the day. But he takes it into all the reality, what really happened, how the thing kind of fell apart, and all of that. So, yeah, definitely worth listening to, and a great book to get. The Dealer, How One California Dealership Fueled the Rise of Ferrari Cars in America, which is exactly what they did, by Jim Chiardella. Very interesting. Good book. So let's go on the ultimate drive. I'm also an enabler, and that means I'm going to park any car you'd like in your driveway. You can take it anywhere in the world, but here's the key. Ooh. You can go with anybody, including somebody from the past who's no longer with us. So what does the ultimate drive look like for a guy who lives in a beautiful part of the country where there's a lot of ultimate drives?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So I'm very fortunate in the fact that I think I'm going to be doing my dream drive in a couple of months.
Okay.
So I'm really excited about it. It's a warehouse drive. So every quarter we do just a fun, you know, trip somewhere. But we're doing our first European rally.
Oh, nice.
It's a rally that I pre-ran a couple years ago, going from one of our favorite resorts, Monteverde in Tuscany, Italy. It goes up through. We go to the Ferrari. We go to Maranello. So we go to the factory, which is going to be just a ton of fun. We go up to Lake Como, then through the Austrian Alps, and we go to Porsche, and then we go to the Nürburgring, and we go to through France, and then we end in Monaco for the Grand Prix. So it is truly like that's what I grew up watching on Top Gear, and like seeing all these epic drives with those guys running a Ford GT against a plane or something like that. So I'm super excited about the drive. I think it would be my dream drive. I get to go with my amazing girlfriend, Hannah, which I'm super excited about. My dad is also going to be on the trip, and then some great families with our members. So,
Nice.
Yeah, I think I'm fortunate enough to do my dream soon. So I'm really excited.
A lot to be grateful for. Oh my gosh, that sounds like a dream drive. Absolutely. Very, very cool. Well, you've taken us on a wonderful drive today, and I'm so glad that we connected. I want to do a shout-out thank you to Katie Zamara of Venue Communications. She's the one that connected me and introduced me to Jake. So, Katie, thank you very, very much. So before I let you go today, Jake, could you leave us with some parting words of inspiration and wisdom?
Sure. Yeah, I think one thing I've learned to go by, especially through construction, is don't give people the power to make you upset or to make you angry. Try to go through with neutrality, and you know your response is going to formulate your outcome. So
yeah,
it's something I live by and I work with my amazing team with.
You know, that's such an important message, and my wife's been real good about this over the years, is why would you let someone else's misery bring you down to their level? You have the power
to stay
above that rank. So yeah, and it goes in all sorts of parts of business, relationships, road rage, all of that. Just, you know what? Don't let them bring you to their lower level. I love it. Very nice. Yeah. How can people learn more about Warehouse, Jake?
Yeah, sure. You know, we're pretty present on Instagram, Facebook. Warehouse Motor Club is our at there, warehousemotorclub.com. And then we will be starting up a YouTube here soon called Warehouse TV. Bunch of fun things. You'll get to see inside of Warehouse, the cars that we have, and just some of the fun stuff we do. The one video that would be worth looking at is we took the brand new Lamborghini Sturato this past summer straight to Swing Arm City, and you know, which was famous for Ken Block and his rally car, and you know, drove it all over the sand dunes. So that one's a good watch.
Getting that car dirty, I was going to ask you about that. Oh my gosh! Yeah. But it looked like you were having fun. It did put a smile on my face. I'm not sure I could do it with my car, but that looked like a fun. It's kind of like the Porsche Dakar, you know, that we're seeing go for astronomical resale prices. But I just had some guests on my show, the Lilienthals, Mercedes, and Andy, and they drove the new Ineos vehicle up to the Alcon 5000, but they said there was a, I think, a couple of Porsche Dakars on that rally that just took place a few weeks ago. So it's nice to see people taking vehicles that are designed for something out to drive in such environments. So good for them. That sounds like fun. 100%. JK, thanks for spending time with me. Thanks for sharing what you're doing. Really proud of what you're doing, buddy. Keep it up. Until you and I talk again, my friend, I'll see you hopefully in Park City at Warehouse.
Yeah, come over. Come over for a drive. We got plenty of cars you can take out.
Sounds like fun. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Hey, guess what? Some of you regular listeners will remember back in 2019, I created 10, 11 shows called Cars Yeah TV, where I went to some fabulous locations of past Cars Yeah guests, and we did a TV show about it. Well, they're up on the Cars Yeah YouTube channel. So go check it out at YouTube. Just type in Cars Yeah, and the shows will be there for you to enjoy. I hope you have fun watching.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's ride here at Cars Yeah. Drive on over to carsyeah.com to find show notes and inspiring automotive fun. Download your free copy of Filler Up, a fun book filled with gorgeous photographs of fuel filler fun, including quotes from more inspiring automotive enthusiasts. Download your copy today, and we'll see you next time on Cars Yeah.